This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I am so happy when you email me with questions. You can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Here's a question we've got from Alice. Does eating nuts leach calcium from your bones? And do nuts have to be soaked and dehydrated? I have osteoporosis and I eat a lot of nuts, so I'm concerned. Now, for your first question, does eating nuts leach calcium from the bones? All right, maybe the next part of it will answer for us. The soaking of nuts, see, nature has given all life defense mechanisms, which include nutritional inhibitors, and these in our plant life, and these nutritional inhibitors can be removed naturally when we soak things like nuts, grains, legumes, right? Some nutritional inhibitors that are found in nuts are things like phytic acid or phytates, and trypsin inhibitors. These are digestive enzyme inhibitors. So people eating raw nuts, if they're complaining of constipation or indigestion, it could be the raw nuts to blame. Now, you hear a lot of people say, but no, raw nuts, that's the only way to eat my almonds is raw. But if you do suffer from constipation or indigestion or GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, it's best not to eat your nuts raw. This can be problematic or can exacerbate the problem, just make it worse. So nature has given nuts natural defense mechanisms, just like all the other plant life. And some of these are phytates or phytic acid. What phytates do is they bind up the minerals that exist in our plant foods, such as nuts. And when they're bound up, then you're not necessarily going to get that very important, you know, magnesium and calcium and all the other minerals that you would from that particular food. So does eating nuts leach calcium from our bones per se? Maybe not necessarily, but it can inhibit the absorption of any calcium, magnesium, or other minerals or other micronutrients within the nuts. Soaking them helps to take care of that problem. So how do we soak the nuts? What do we do? Typically, they're soaked in warm water, you know, a bowl of warm water, enough to soak, completely submerge your nuts, and adding some salt. There's a wonderful book I would love everybody to read by Sally Fallon of Weston A. Price Organization. It's Nourishing Traditions. And she goes into all the key things to do about soaking your nuts properly. So by soaking them, and you could soak them anywhere from 7 hours to 24 hours, it helps to break down the phytic acid, okay? And it helps to neutralize these trypsin inhibitors, these enzyme inhibitors that may inhibit our own digestion. I'll tell you something. I've had clients say to me, I can't eat raw nuts. My digestion simply stops. It ceases. I hear that. I believe you. So, avoid raw nuts altogether for those people. And soaking nuts is a great idea. Now, the other thing about soaking your nuts, after you've soaked them, they're going to be wet. You could certainly eat them wet. You don't want them to stay wet because you might then, you know, allow mold to grow. And that's exactly what you don't want, is any kind of fungus starting to form on your newly soaked nuts. So what you want to do after you've soaked nuts and seeds is dry them either in a dehydrator or in your oven on the lowest possible setting. A lot of ovens don't go below 200 degrees, so it may be tough to do. You want to then, I want to say, toast them in the oven. And then once you're done toasting them slightly, at least to dry them, let them come to room temperature and store them in a glass container in the refrigerator. And if you've soaked and have dehydrated or dried a whole lot of nuts, store them responsibly. Glass containers are always preferred, and in the freezer if you have a whole lot of them. Okay? So, again, the go-to reference for that is Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Organization. Another question we have is, what are your feelings about roasting vegetables? What is the best method? What is the best temperature? I love roasted vegetables, especially come fall time, because you could roast almost any kind of vegetable. And it's quick and easy. You could take a whole lot of different vegetables, put them on a cookie sheet, season them lightly, and throw them in the oven. I'm talking about vegetables like your eggplant, broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, other types of squash, onions, roasted onions, roast garlic. Roast your garlic and then use them as a paste on your chicken, on your fish, on your steak. Because the onions, the garlic, they caramelize, the sugars develop. It's absolutely wonderful. So I love roasting vegetables come fall and winter. Really easy to do, very easy cleanup, because you're just talking about putting everything on one particular pan or cookie sheet in the oven. You want to put your rack towards the top. You want to bring the oven temperature to, it depends on who you ask, you see, it could be 375 to 425. So let's say 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Somewhere in the middle of cooking, you're probably going to cook them, roast your vegetables, depending on what kind of pieces you've chopped for yourself, if they're small, if they're large. The smaller, the less time cooking. Anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes, and you could season them before they go in the oven with salt, pepper, rosemary, thyme, a little hot stuff if you wish. I like to put a very, very, very little bit of, maybe a little bit of olive oil, tiny bit, and toss around those cut up vegetables before you put them in the oven so that they kind of coat evenly. You know already that I'm not a fan of cooking with olive oil, but I'm using a very, very tiny amount here. And if you like, don't use it at all. Don't use the olive oil at all. Simply roast your vegetables, and after you've taken them out, drizzle them with the really good, fine, cold press, extra virgin artisanal olive oil, something really fruity and delicious. That's when you season them with the olive oil, toss them around, and they're ready to eat. So, one of my favorite ways to eat vegetables is roasted in the oven, just like that. Okay. Another question we have is, let's see, what are your feelings about avocado oil? Well, I love avocados, and especially Haas avocados, because they're a little bit fattier. Both versions of avocado are fatty. The California, the Florida, the Haas avocados are wonderful. And just like extra virgin olive oil, a good quality cold press avocado is unrefined, so it retains the flavor and color characteristics of the fruit flesh. It's going to have a nice green color, and that color is coming from the high levels of chlorophylls and the carotenoids. A nice thing about avocado oil is it has a wonderful flavor, and it's full of monounsaturates, just like olive oil, just about as much oleic acid. That's that very beneficial omega-9 fat. You've heard of me talk about the omega-3 fats, the beneficial omega-6 fats, and now the omega-9s. The omega-9s are your monounsaturated fats as found in olive oil and in an oil like avocado oil. So avocado oil has a nice high smoke point, about 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You've probably heard me talk about grapeseed oil in the past. A lot of people do a lot of high heat frying in grapeseed oil because it has a very high smoke point, around 400 degrees, if not higher. But the problem with grapeseed oil is it's also very high in the omega-6 fats that are not beneficial, that are pro-inflammatory. These are the gamma-linolenic omega-6, not the gamma-linolenic, like I talked about a week prior. Borage oil, black currant seed oil, evening primrose oil, those are the beneficial omega-6. The not-so-beneficial omega-6 are things like grapeseed oil. It's got a lot of pro-inflammatory omega-6, so skip that. Avocado oil may be a great idea, but again, I like not to cook so much with oil because even these beneficial plant oils can be destroyed by high heat cooking. Just because something has a high smoke point doesn't mean you should cook with it, because what you don't know is that these vegetable oils or plant oils are still very volatile under high heat cooking. They're not like the saturated fats, and therefore they can become rancid easily or damaged. And that damage, unfortunately, is conferred to us. We're ingesting that. What I would recommend you do, instead of cooking, sautéing with these oils, is change your method of cooking to more braising. A little bit of water, as if you were going to steam, but you're going to braise. You could still flavor your vegetables, you could still do all of that and season them properly. And towards the very end of their cooking, drizzle the avocado oil into it. Avocado oil may also be very, very nice as a salad dressing. More benefits, besides being similar to olive oil and being high in oleic acid. It's about 76% monounsaturated, about 12% polyunsaturated, and 12% saturated, the other saturated fats, which are actually good for us. And they're full of chlorophyll and carotenoids. Now, the carotenoids in avocado, we love them because we love carotenoids in all of our vegetables, but avocado in particular because of their potential anti-carcinogenic effect. These carotenoids are extracted into the oil. In other words, because it's cold press and not under a high heat processing, the carotenoids don't go bad. They are actually extracted into the oil. And some of the most significant carotenoids, I'm actually looking at this from the American Oil Chemist Society, wonderful, wonderful website. You could go to acos.org. That's the American Oil Chemist Society. And what they say is that the most significant carotenoid present in avocado oil is lutein. Lutein is beneficial for our eye health. It could reduce progression of age-related macular degeneration. And cold-pressed avocado oil also contains high levels of phytosterols, beta-cytosterol being the main sterol present. And based on its fatty acid makeup and the presence of all these wonderful phytochemicals, extra virgin cold-pressed avocado oil is considered to be a helpful oil. This is a good thing. So, try not to do high heat cooking in any kind of oil unless you use coconut oil. And the reason is, and it doesn't have a very high smoke point, so you want to do it quickly. Coconut oil, because it's a saturated fat, is probably the most stable under high heat cooking. Keep that in mind. I thank you for your questions. So let's see here. We are coming upon the first of the holidays, which is Thanksgiving. So I want to remind you all to check in with yourself and make sure you're not getting too stressed out, because too often for too many people, stress begins right after Halloween, or maybe it started for you even before Halloween if you have young children. There was a meta-analysis in 2004 based on over 290 independent studies taken from 1960 to 2001. Excuse me. And the analysis of these studies actually confirmed that stress alters our immune function. And most distinctively, chronic stress suppresses our immune response. And it does that because it depletes our body resources. When we're stressed, we're burning through B vitamins, we're burning through magnesium. And this puts, it actually suppresses our immune system, okay? We're not talking about short-term good stress, like after a good exercise run, that might enhance your immune function as an adaptive response. We're talking about chronic stress, because we're just upon the holiday season now, and how that might impact you. So if you want to stay healthy this winter, take care of your stress, change your reaction, plan things accordingly. And listen, another thing that causes stress among so many of you is you're on a particular eating plan, whether it's for a medical condition, whether it's for weight loss, whether it's to get into that dress for the upcoming wedding you're going to, or it might be your own wedding, any event or occasion, or whatever health parameter that you're trying to reach, that of course is including changing your diet, I don't want you to stress the holidays. And what I mean by that is decide the same way that you would normally plan a cheat or a little indiscretion now and then, plan that on the holidays too. For instance, Thanksgiving. If you're celebrating Thanksgiving, have what you like Thanksgiving Day. However, don't turn it into a whole four-day-long weekend feed bag feast. That's not what you want. And if you're hosting Thanksgiving at your house, tell your guests, your relatives, your friends, tell them to bring a Tupperware so that they can leave with all the leftover goodies that you don't want hanging around in your refrigerator because you're going to be tempted. Remember, out of sight can be out of mind. And another thing, even if you do fall off the wagon, you don't have to say, oh no, I just completely blew my diet, so I might as well continue to gorge. You're not blowing it. You're having a holiday meal. That's all. There doesn't have to be any drama attached to that. Even if your holiday meal went into the next day and the day after that, you will begin anew. All is not lost. So do away with the negative self-talk. And we can't just live in extremes. We can't be completely on our diets or completely off our diets. Life is a big gray area, which is where most of us live, and most things are happening within that gray area. Let's learn to deal, and let's be rational about the whole thing. Just because you've blown a meal or three consecutive meals, it doesn't mean you've blown the whole thing. Tomorrow's a new day, and you could get right back on program. And if you're getting a lot of gifts, like sweet treats and gift baskets and lots of chocolate and cookies and, oh, you know, that holiday fruitcake, you don't have to eat them to show your love and appreciation. You can pay it forward. You can make donations to your local food bank, your soup kitchen. they will appreciate it, and so might your waistline. So, everybody, I don't want you to sweat the holidays. I want you to enjoy yourself. And the very next day after the holiday is over, you get right back on program. Try not to sweat it. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.